Okay, perfect. I'm dealing with technology up here, but I'm doing it. All right, I'm going to open us in prayer, and then we're going to start with Genesis chapter 1. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for each of the women here in this room. I'm grateful for the chance that we have to dive into your word today. Awkward. So grateful for the chance to dive into your word today, to grow closer to you, to laugh together, to fellowship together, but most importantly, to fall more in love with you through the stories that you've given to us. We know that you gave us your word because you love us. And I just ask for each of the women in the room today that you would use this study to draw them closer to you, that you would open their hearts and open their minds, that you would help them to stay curious all the days of their lives, that they would fall more in love with you each week as we walk through this study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, perfect. All right, so chapter 1 this week, we already said, was Genesis. And so our verse for the week that you can see on the first page of your book is, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." And so that's a familiar... Does someone need to get the door? So sorry. Thank you so much. Good morning again. So, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And for many of us, that is a super familiar passage, but we're going to look at it today through the lens of God speaking and creation obeying. So that's going to be our focus for today. And so the first thing that we're going to do is walk through different places of the Bible where we see God speaking and different parts of creation either obeying, angels obeying his voice, unclean spirits obeying his voice, even death obeying his voice. And so we're going to walk through some of that first and tee us up for where we're going to go for the rest of this morning, okay? And so in that first section of Genesis, as we look through creation obeying, we see a rhythm of God speaking and just his very word causing the sun and the moon and the stars, just his voice alone. And so I pulled some other verses, kind of like if we did Revelation. I'm a little under the weather, in case you can't tell. I'm so sorry. If you did Revelation last semester, Jen Wilkin taught us this look behind concept. And so we're going to revisit that quite a bit this semester. Like, oh, where do I need to look? Where is this familiar to me? Have I heard this before? Does this tie in somewhere else? And so that's one thing, too, that I want us to kind of do this semester is stay curious. When we see a verse and we have a question about it, we're going to follow our train of thought and see where it takes us. So starting with creation and God speaking and creation obeying, we see that through multiple other places, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So I want you to listen to some of these verses about creation obeying God's very word. And so we see in the Psalms, we see, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, for he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." So we have this idea of God speaking. He gives commands, and there's obedience. And then we see in Hebrews, "By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God." And then in other places, we see where creation responds, whether it's the wind or the sea. In Exodus, it says, "Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind." In Joshua, "Sun, stand still at Gibeon," and the sun stood still. And then in Mark, a story we might be familiar with, "Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still,' and the wind ceased." All just the word, just spoken word. Then maybe something we don't often think about but are still great reminders, we see the angels that obey his word too. In Psalm, we have, "Bless the Lord, O you his angels, who obey the voice of his word." and then stories that are familiar to us from the New Testament. Jesus, with authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, so even the unseen world obeys his very voice. And then some of my favorite stories from the New Testament. We see even the dead. We see resurrection stories, right, in the New Testament that are just great examples of creation obeying God's very word. So we have in John the story of Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out. This is actually one of my favorite resurrection stories because I heard somebody say one time, Jesus is standing at the grave of Lazarus and he has to say, Lazarus, come out. And it's very specific because if he didn't, they all would have come out. They all would have come out because that's how powerful he is. And so I think that's a great reminder of the attribute of God being almighty. In Mark, there's another resurrection story. It's a 12-year-old girl. And this one I really enjoy because it shows God's tenderness. Jesus comes to the home of the 12-year-old girl that had died, and he says, Talitha kumi. And I didn't really actually realize what that meant for the many times that I read it until somebody explained it to me. The verse is, Talitha kumi, and immediately the girl got up. It means, little girl, get up. And it's how we speak to somebody who's taking a nap. Get up, little girl, your nap is over. It just reminds me of the power that even though death seems so final to us, so powerful, it's just like taking a nap. So I really like that example also. And of course, we've just come out of Revelation. If you finish that story with us, that passage, and we saw where at the end of time, we all come out, right? Death has no power over any of us. All who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Just from hearing his voice. So I think we see these passages and we see the power of God, the power of his voice. It's all powerful. He speaks light into the void. Everything in heaven and on earth and under the earth, they all obey him. And then that brings us to the question that we have to ask. So what are we supposed to do with that? How are we supposed to respond? And so if you saw those words in your book of creation and kingdom as our theme for this week, if you have a king who is a good king, then we must obey. So kingdom leads to obedience and allegiance. So if we have a God with all authority, then we should obey. But unfortunately for me, being your trail leader here, I tend to go on little tangents. My family, my husband likes to hike, and the rest of us tag along. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. So I do have a tiny bit of hiking experience. My family has been hiking all over the place. We've done large parts of the Appalachian Trail. We've been in California and Georgia and all over. But I do have some hiking rules. The first rule is I'm not packing or planning anything. If I'm going to go walk 40 or 45 miles, I will carry my own things, of course, but I'm not gonna plan all of that. And the second rule is when we get there, two rules, I'm gonna pick where we stay. And if I'm walking 45 miles, it's gonna be someplace nice. And I get to plan the first dinner when we arrive. And so, because I don't actually do any of the planning, if you were actually hiking with me, I would probably get you lost. And so that's, you know, we're going to go on some tangents with this, but I promise we'll get to the destination. So it'll feel like you're hiking with me. So when I came to the section of if God is king and I'm supposed to obey him, then the first question that naturally comes up then is, well, where am I struggling to obey God? And if you've been in small group any amount of time at all, you've probably had that question in small group. It's really a very common question that we have in small group. I know I've been sitting in a small group before, I've been leading a small group before and asked that question. But I'm going to tell you guys a little bit of the truth. when I hear the question, where do you struggle to obey God? I know it's a weighty question. I know that it is something that I should really be thinking about, that I really need to address, but I'm going to tell you some of the answers I've given in small group. They're still the right answer. There's nothing wrong with the answers that I've given. And I'm prefacing with that because I'm sure some of you have given these answers. So answers I've given in small group, where do I struggle to obey God? I yelled at my kids this week. Anybody give that answer? Just me. Okay. If I'm being very holy, I will say I disrespected my husband this week. If I'm just giving my normal answer, I might say I wasn't very nice to my husband this week. Or here's another answer I've given in small group. I spent too much money at TJ Maxx. Answer I've given. They're all true answers, and they're all skimming the surface. And so as we go through Bible study this semester, what I really want us to do is, if we have to answer the question, where do I struggle to obey God? The underlying thing that we have to address is, well, we better know what God's word is. Because if we don't know what God's word is, we don't know how to obey. And so as I was kind of thinking about this, I went back to my answers that I gave. Oh, I disrespected my husband. I yelled at my kids. I spent too much money at TJ Maxx. And I said, well, what does it actually mean to say those things? What's the deeper underlying problem that I'm having? What's the deeper sin that I'm having? And so when I say, hey, and by the way, I had a terrible fight with my husband last week, which is what prompted all of this. It was probably the worst fight that we have ever had. And it really made me think about, gosh, I'm just struggling here. And so I went and I looked at some verses on that. And the first one, of course, is Ephesians, that you may be familiar with, which is, you know, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Is that one? Okay, all right, I should be respecting him. I wasn't. But how about Ecclesiastes? I'm throwing this one in here because it's your sneak peek. If you want to leave and you want to go to Ecclesiastes, here's a sneak peek of Ecclesiastes. This is Ecclesiastes from chapter 4, 9 through 12. And this is probably the one that really convicted me. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. It was that last sentence that really got me. Two can stand back to back and conquer. And that's really war language, right? When you think about it. You're in battle. The two of you are standing back to back. The idea is you've got your swords drawn. You're fighting, pushing back the darkness, defending one another. And I heard that picture, and I immediately realized I am not standing back to back. I am staring at my husband and hacking him to death with the blade of my tongue. And there's the problem. So I hope as we go through Bible study this week and we go through some of these discussion questions, that as we dive into the word of the Lord, we really get to kind of see the deeper nature, both of our sin, but also how great God is at rescuing us. So that was one thing. You know, I think we all know when we say we yell at our kids, you know, what we're really saying, or at least me, I'm really saying, well, you know, I screamed like a banshee, I lost control, I yelled way too long, I didn't parent them from a place of they're an image bearer and I should be guiding them. I think we know what that means, but it also makes us kind of beg the question of, gosh, why am I like that? Where is this going? And if you've seen the latest sermon series, there is a sermon on this coming up that I'm really excited about. So the topic that addresses this one is called Saint and Sinner. And so I think we recognize that there is a little bit of tension that we start to feel. Like, why am I disrespecting my husband? Why am I yelling at my kids? Where are the fruits of the Spirit in me? You know, where is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? If I am a new creation, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, should I be seeing these fruits? Why am I constantly disobeying? If I recognize that God is King and I should be obeying, why am I constantly like this? So that's that tension, saint and sinner. So I'm excited about that in the upcoming sermon series. But if you've thought that yourself, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, you're in good company, not just with me. We see the Apostle Paul ask the same thing. He says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Have you guys ever felt that? Like, I do what I hate. Oh, took us off the trail because we're just in Genesis. So I'm going to bring us back on the trail so we can end up where we're supposed to end, like I promised. But I think you get the point. We see that God in Genesis is using words for creating good things, and that everything obeys above the earth, below the earth, with every breath he speaks. And as we have just heard, I spend a great deal of my time not obeying God and using my words to destroy image bearers. But that will bring us into the next section. Chapter 2 next week, we'll do image bearers, we'll do human beings and the creation of that. So that's kind of where we're headed for next week. So we saw creation. Creation is God communicating to us. And so I wanted to kind of close with one last thought about creation and what we get from it still today. So one thing that I think we see, God speaks and creation obeys, but creation speaks back to us in special ways, right? Like when we see sunsets, when we see waterfalls, we see the designer, we see the creator in those things. And so I wanted to leave you with a couple of thoughts, not my thoughts, Tim Keller's thoughts. So maybe they're better thoughts. So two thoughts from Tim Keller. The glory of God is not something you see with your eyes. It's something you sense in everything he made. Creation itself is a signpost, right? It's a signpost that points beyond itself. The beauty of nature is not an argument for God, it's an invitation to seek him. And I think we feel that when we see creation in full display. And then lastly, if there is a God who made the world, then every sunset, every bird, every human being is not an accident, but a clue. Creation is filled with clues leading us home. So as we walk through these verses, it's going to lead us on our path. It's going to lead us on our hike through these woods to home. And so that's what my hope is for us. So when you go, I will close this in prayer, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more about your red folders and the handout that you got. So the red folder that you have is the actual like official study guide for the book. There's just a couple of brief questions that you guys can use in your small groups in that. And so those are great questions. Your small group leaders can decide to use one, the other, or neither. That's totally fine. So red book, study guide from the actual book. The handout that you got this morning, those are questions that I just kind of put together just based on my random trail hikes for the week. So you can use those as you wish. There is a great passage on the questions that I put together on using words for encouragement that I thought was just a really interesting thing for us to contemplate. So I will close us in prayer. We're going to have a little extra time in small groups today so you guys can get to know one another, like I said, find out where you're going and kind of reestablish your routines. But in the meantime, I will close us in prayer, and then you guys can go. Creator God, you spoke and the world came into being. You looked at what you made, and you called it very good. Help us to see creation and one another through your eyes. Teach us to honor the power of words, remembering that what we speak can reflect your goodness or distort it. Help us to desire you. Help us to stay curious about you. Help us to want to get to know you better. Use your words this semester, pointing us to you, pointing us to your Son, and helping us to see where our shortcomings are, but to delight in you all the more. Guide us through these next few weeks as we look forward into this semester of looking at the Bible as one big picture. Help us to see this as one cohesive story. Help us to see where we fit into the story, and help us to see you all the more in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.